Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we have been looking at the believing remnant introduced to us in Malachi 3:16. After nearly three chapters of dealing with the apostate majority, we are delighted to learn that there is a believing minority. We call them the remnant. That's not the word that is used here, but that is a common term for the smaller number of people who remain faithful to God, particularly when they are surrounded by people who have departed from Him. And we learn in verse 16 that there are such people and that they are special to God. But as we move on to verses 17 and 18, we get a stronger and stronger affirmation of just how special they are. God obviously takes special delight in these people, and God has special purposes for this group of blood-bought people. And so that's what we are looking at on the Beacon Broadcast as we open our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3 and welcome you to another edition of the Beacon Broadcast on this Wednesday, March 11, and thank those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Malachi 3:16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." And then verse 17, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him." A special people. "They shall be mine." The word "mine" is emphatic in the original language. "They shall be mine." My special possession when I make up my jewels, or when I make them my jewels. Several different possible ways to translate this phrase, but all of them essentially say the same thing. God considers these people to be especially precious, like people generally value their jewels and give them special care and protection. So God values those people who believe in Him, and especially those who are faithful to Him under difficult circumstances. "They shall be mine when I make up my jewels." They are my jewels. I value them highly, and I will spare them from judgment. That's a wonderful truth. Back to verse 17, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them." Though all sinners, which is all of us, deserve God's wrath. We are sinners, and therefore are under the condemnation of God until we come to Jesus Christ by faith for cleansing and to receive the pardon which God so mercifully extends. And here are people who have done exactly that. They fear the Lord, and they've come to Him, and they receive His mercy. "I will spare them." There are only two categories of people in this world. Those who are under condemnation and those who are not. And what makes the difference? Some believe that the difference has to do with my self-righteousness, what I do, the good deeds that I do, the religious activities that I'm engaged in. That's what makes me spared the wrath of God. Far, far from it. That's not how you get into the category of those who are spared. You only get into that category by acknowledging that you are a sinner deserving of condemnation and pleading to God for His mercy, His kindness, His saving grace, which is found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who fear the Lord in that way will be spared the wrath to come. I made reference on the broadcast yesterday to a hymn that I remember from decades and decades ago, seldom sung. I don't know how long it's been since I've heard it, but it is a song that reminds people of God's judgment. And I suppose the reason why we seldom hear this or other songs like that today is because the natural human ear doesn't like to think about judgment, doesn't like to hear about judgment. But that song that came to my mind yesterday, and I've been thinking about it a little bit more, it's a little fresher in my mind today. It goes something like this. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saint and the sinner will be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Now, that's the first stanza. It goes on from there. When the saint and the sinner will be parted right and left. Only two categories. Those who will not be spared the wrath of God upon sin, which we all deserve, and those who will be spared because they have fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that day should come today, which category would you be in? Are you ready for the judgment day? And they shall be mine. Who are they? How can they be identified? Well, we've already seen in verse 16, they are those who fear the Lord, which means they believe what the Bible says about God. What God has revealed about Himself, they reverence God as He has revealed Himself. That seems so self-evident, but I am amazed at how many people reject what the Bible tells us about God and just refuse to believe what the Bible says, that God is like this and God does this. Well, my God would never do that. Well, did it ever occur to you that if you are not believing in the God who has revealed Himself in Scripture, that you are worshiping the wrong God? Did that ever occur to you? We don't make up what we want God to be like and what we want to believe about Him and then believe that. How does that differ from the pagan in the heart of a jungle somewhere who bows down to a statue, a totem pole of a God who is non-existent but who has been fashioned out of human thoughts, and this is what He's considered to be, and so we worship this God? You say, I would never do that. I would never bow down to a God like that. But how many people who call themselves Christians are believing in a God who is not the God of the Bible? I have heard people say, I could never believe in a God who sends people to hell. Well, then you're not believing in the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible does that. And the question is not, is that agreeable with you? The question is not, does that offend your sensibilities? The question is that the truth that God has revealed to us about himself? That's all that matters. And if we're going to know God, if we're going to be spared from the judgment that is going to fall upon sinners when that judgment day comes, we've got to fear the Lord as he has revealed himself to be. Those are the ones. They shall be mine on that day when I make up my jewels and I will spare them. Who are they, these ones that shall be mine? They are those who fear the Lord. They are those who seek fellowship with other believers. We've seen this in verse 16. They recognize and feel their need of Christian fellowship. They are drawn to those of like precious faith. They are those who meditate upon his name, also going back to verse 16. The name of God is a term that means all that God is as he has revealed himself to be. Everything in the Bible reveals something about God. And those who think deeply about the Bible, about this divine revelation and how it reveals God, are the ones who will be spared the wrath of God. They are people of the book, the Bible. They love to hear it. They love to read it. They love to study it. That's who will be spared in the day of judgment. Who are they? These ones that are his. They are those who serve him. Verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. The last phrase in this verse, his son who serves him. Now, I think I've already made clear, it's not what we do, it's not our service that causes us to be spared the wrath of God, but those who are spared the wrath of God demonstrate their faith, which is why they are spared, demonstrate their faith by their loving devotion and willing service. How else do you respond to a God who has spared you from such wrath? How else do you respond to a God who gave his own son in your place and poured out his wrath upon him instead of upon you? How else do you respond to such a God except by serving him with loving devotion? Not those who claim to serve him or pretend to serve him, but those who do. This concept of son and servant are constantly intertwined. How do you relate to God? Are you a son of God or a daughter of God? Well, if you're a born-again believer, of course you are. Are you a servant of God? Well, you're that too. You say, well, in the world in which I live, usually people are one or the other, but not both. A servant isn't a son, and the son isn't a servant. Well, in the relationship that we have with God, that's exactly the way it is. Think about the two sons in Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 21. He said to the first son, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Son, go work. He's going to serve the father. "Go work today in my vineyard." And the son says, "Yes, sir, I'll go." But he doesn't. And he says to the second son, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he says, "I don't want to do that." But he repents of his wrong attitude, and he actually goes and works in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, who was it who was actually the obedient son? It's the one who did the work, not the one who said he would but didn't. Think about that. Sons evidence their sonship by loving service to the father. False sons evidence their true condition by their hypocritical or reluctant service. Think on these things, and we'll come back tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.